Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for what you've already given us through Jan's words, through Mike, through Sandy, through Pete. We just really thank you, Father. Thank you that you're here with us right now. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word helps us, Lord, to grow in righteousness, to grow in truth, to teach us, to rebuke us. I thank you so much for our word, for your word. And I pray over this word that anything, Lord, that's of you would help each one of us, and anything else would fall away. So just come right now, Holy Spirit, talk to each one of us, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just want to pull out from Thursday prayer breakfast at Wetherspoons that we decided we'd look at a little bit of Donna's word that she gave the whole church. Because when you get a prophetic word, there's a responsibility. There's that as well. You know, there is a responsibility. It's not just put that on the shelf when it's all going to happen. You know, God wants to partner with us in a prophetic word. It doesn't all happen just like that. Sometimes one or two things may do, but a lot of the time he's calling us into deeper into a relationship to see his word come into being. So Pete and I have typed up the words, printed off the words, gone through the words, and I just wanted to share one bit from this word that she spoke over the church, which was a new breed of champions is rising up in this place. So I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to use this one bit that she said I've taken an extract, that's the word I'm looking for, from the word. So she said, thank you for that new breed of champions that is rising up in this place, who put on their full armor, who is aware of the enemy schemes, but are not frightened by the work of the enemy, because they know their full authority and they know the power that comes through standing in the presence of God. Can I read it again? Yeah. It's pretty good, that, isn't it? Thank you for that new breed of champions. That's you. And me, put your hand on your heart. I am a new breed of champion. I'm a new breed of champion that is rising up in this place, who put on their full armor, who is aware of the enemy schemes, but are not frightened by the work of the enemy, because they know their full authority and they know the power that comes through standing in the presence of God. Well, in a minute, because Pat said that reminder at prayer breakfast, she said, that reminds me of David's mighty men. So we're going to have a little look at them in a minute, because that's awesome. But first I wanted to say, in a prophetic word, you can get different things come through in a prophetic word. You can get instruction, which is God being specific and telling you something specific. I'll see if I can give you an example of that. Listen and obey. That is a specific instruction in a prophetic word. You can get a conditional promise, which means there's a promise, but it's attached to a condition. If you seek my face, if you look up, it's got an if, it might be, it's a condition, it's more of a condition. You can have an action to take. The word might give you an action to take. So again, it's if you go into the secret place and seek my face, you will see more people saved in Tunbridge than there'll be an action that you need to do. So something that you have to do. It's an action with an outcome. There'll be an outcome. There can be a warning in it. So the Lord can release a warning in his word that he gives to us. An identity statement. Look for identity statements in your words, because that's how he sees us. So, for example, today he sees us in this word, a new breed of champions. So that's the word we take. I'm a new breed of champion. And we speak those words over ourselves until that's our default in our brain. So we're creating that neural pathway that that's what I live like. I live like a new breed of champion. I'm not living like I was. I'm a new breed of champion. So the word is powerful and effective in our lives as we speak it out. So an identity statement, and I think many of us probably have need to do that more than what we actually do. We need to declare it, we need to hear it over ourselves, because the enemy attacks our mind to tell us who we're not constantly. But Father God wants us to know who we are. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm a new breed of champion. I'm a princess in his kingdom. So we for identity statements, they're really important. We need to speak them out over ourselves. Oh yeah, and I've said action ecomm. So you can get an instruction. We did it all in different colours. You can get an instruction from God. Listen and obey. That's an instruction. You can get a conditional promise if you seek my face. If people that are called by my name pray, you know, it's conditional. It's not just going to happen like that. You can have to take an action. I need to do something for to actually, one of the ones I think she says in this, let me give you an example. It might be clearer. Oh, so this is an instruction. God says you are to move with intention and purpose. That's an instruction. Okay, so that's, we've underlined that. Oh, to bless the people who come in the door. So anyone who comes in, they should feel blessed. That's our intention, that's our purpose, that's our focus. And then she talks about money. I want you to be somebody who encourages, and I want you to carry that spirit of generosity to give away what I release to you. Instruction. Give away, and we are going to be talking as trustees what we can give away and where we can give away. He says, don't hold it in. Warning. Don't hold it in. Don't hold money back. Don't hold it back. It's to come in and flow out. I'm talking about as a church. This is a word for all of us in the church. I'm going to use you. You will never be in lack. Promise. If you do this, this is the promise. Do you see? So it's different. Is that clear? There will be more that will come in. Sow and reap. Again, it's like a conditional promise, actually, that one. Let me find another one. He says, hold it, talking about finances, hold it loosely. Instruction. Hold it loosely. Don't hold on to it. Warning. Don't hold on to it. He says, because there's always fresh manna. There's always something new for you. So that's just examples of if you've got a prophetic word, dig it out. Have a look at what God's saying. Where do I need to partner? Where's there perhaps a warning? Where's there's an instruction? Where's the conditional promise? I always remember it was tragic, actually. A lovely guy who used to come when we were at K College. He came up and said to me once, God promised me years ago that I'd have a farm, I think it was, where young boys could come who were fatherless, and I would create this. But it never happened. So I said to him, well, what steps did you take towards that? Because obviously if God gives you a word like that, there's steps that you need to take towards it, to receive it. And what would be the first thing that you might need to do? You might need to know that you can look after young men, that you might need to get a qualification in looking after young men. Do you know what I mean? There's steps that you can take. And I thought that was tragic. And he was now in his 80s. Richard, do you remember? And it was never going to happen. So God does that because he wants to draw us deeper into relationship. It's one of his ways of pulling us really close to him. Anyway, I said more about that than I wanted to, because actually we're just going to look at David's mighty men, because they were champions. So If you have your Bible, it's always good to be reading in the Word as well. See it for yourself in the Word, because God might speak through it to you, something that I haven't even, he's not shown me. You know, we learn together. We learn, you know, as a group of people, we bring our part of what God's showing each one of us. So just, we're actually going to go to 2 Samuel 23, but I just wanted to start in 1 Samuel 22. And keep in mind, these are the champions of the day, if you like. They're David's champions, and what God might be saying to us. So the verses from 1 Samuel 22 are, so David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard about it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was suffering hardship and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. There were about 400 men with him. It's extraordinary. These group of people saw something, didn't they, in David, and gathered to him. So if we move on to 2 Samuel 23, we're going to read about the mighty men, the champions. 2 Samuel 23:8. This book was written 972 years before Jesus, in case you needed that little fact. Someone very kindly has written out the order of the Bible when it's written. It's really useful, actually, to see. So it wasn't my research. Someone gave it to me. His mighty men. These are the names of the mighty men. Imagine that. Your name, my name, in heaven, the mighty men and women of God. These are the names of the mighty men, warriors, whom David had. Josheb, Bashabeth, I can't read all the names, chief of the captains, also called Adino the Esnite, spear, because of the 800 men killed by him at one time. Next to him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the son of Ahoai. He was one of the three mighty men with David when they taunted and defied the Philistines, assembled there for battle, and the men of Israel had gone. Eleazar stood up and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The people returned after him only to take the spoil of the slain. Next to Eleazar was Shammah. I think, Mike, you've spoken about Shammah, haven't you? Yeah. Oh, Shamgar. This is Shammah in here. The son of Agi. I thought, is that where we get the word Agi from? Was he a bit Agi, this guy? The Hararite. The Philistines were gathered into an army where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people of Israel fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand. He took his stand. This is what a champion looks like. In the center of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David at harvest time in the cave of Adullam, while an army of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David had a craving and said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink it, but poured it out in worship to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should drink this. Is it not the same as the blood of the men who went to risk at the risk of their lives? So he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. And then it goes on. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30. He wielded his spear against 300 men and killed them and gained a reputation beside the three. He was the most honored of the 30. So he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the greatness of the three. Then Benaniah, the son of Ida, the son of a valiant man of Kabzel, who had done many notable acts, killed two famous warriors of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I love the fact that they've got the snowy day in there. Could have just been killed a lion in a pit. But no, on a snowy day. It's just brilliant, isn't it? You sort of feel they're really, he's really, really describing everything. And he killed an Egyptian, an impressive and handsome man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but Benaniah went down to him with a club, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed the man with his own spear. These things Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, did and gained a reputation beside the three mighty men. Extraordinary stories, isn't it? Extraordinary. And when I looked at that, I thought, my goodness, this is such an example of what a champion looks like. But I don't really feel at all like that. Does anyone else feel like that? But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And when you move into what Jesus has done for us and the Holy Spirit in us and with us and on us, what we can accomplish in the Spirit is nothing short of what they did. And that made me think, wow, okay, who here is going to take a stand in a field or wield a sword? I think actually somewhere, did it say, I can't remember if that bit said, that the sword got stuck to his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like, but didn't give up. But the battles we face, they're fueled by his presence because we have him with us. And that's something that we really, again, talking about, we need to train ourselves. We need to train our minds that we are never on our own, that he is with us constantly. I learned that very early in the early days when we had lots of situations to face back in the past, as you all know. And I found myself in meetings or I found myself up front suddenly and I had to remember, I'm not on my own. I had to remember that. I'm not alone. He is with me. And again, it's creating that default, that neural pathway in your mind. I am never alone. I think someone said that this morning, I think. Anyway, and we need to completely repeat that all the time. Whatever's going on in our life, I'm not going through this alone. And there are times, obviously, when we actually can't feel God with us, but that doesn't change the truth. I am never alone. He is with me. His promise is that he is with me. And that's just a promise, isn't it? Jesus says, I am with you always. There's no condition attached. I am with you always. So we renew our mind, whatever I'm doing, wherever I am, you are with me. Talk to yourself, talk to myself. I think there's a book by Steve Backlund, isn't there? You're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. So we speak out these truths. We get vicious with them, if you like, and we speak them out. I'm a new breed of champion. I am a child of God. I am never on my own. Until that is our default in our brain, and we know that. So, did you like that?
Yes.
Not me, I meant the champion. Sorry there. the mighty men. Isn't that incredible to think? And we live under the blood of Jesus. So whether we're in prayer, whether we're on the streets, we should have an expectation. I mean, I felt when I prayed for the doctor, I did stumble because I didn't really have a great expectation. But that's the new pathway. I need an expectation that, God, you're going to do something when I reach out my hand. You're going to shift and change something. So, I don't want to go on because I know you guys know all these things, but what I felt like God say when I looked at that, I thought, well, that's great reading all about David's mighty men, but what does it mean for us? Accept that encouragement that this is who God's calling us to be, champions in this church. And you might look around and think, well, it doesn't really feel like it, and I definitely don't feel like a champion. But this is what Jesus has done for us. So let's just quickly pop over to Ephesians 6. Because this is, again, Donna says, she talks about Ephesians 6. She reads out Ephesians 6. She prays out of Ephesians 6. The other thing about this word, which I just want to really encourage everyone with, is God's getting us ready for something. He wouldn't give us that word if he wasn't getting us ready for something. So that's where our partnership comes with the word. We don't 100% know what he's getting us ready for, but we know that he is, and this is part of the journey. And we need to embrace it with his grace, not out of works, but with his grace, we need to embrace it and take responsibility for the word. Does that make sense? So each one of us, in fact, she says, every single one of you, there's no barriers to this word. Joy, I'm talking to you as well. There's no barriers. There's not a barrier in your life, Joy, to receiving that word. Every single one of us, she said, you are included, whatever you're doing and wherever you are. Age is not a barrier. Disability is not a barrier. Nothing is a barrier to God. You know, like Ruth's talking about these special children, these children that have, you know, difficulties in fitting into the world system. Nothing's a barrier to God. And that's why we say it, isn't it? Nothing is impossible for God. And we need to believe that. Nothing. God can shift and move things like that, Hugh. And that's what we want to believe, that nothing's impossible for him. Starts with changing our mindset and changing the way we see something and expecting to see, like Sandy said as well, the goodness of God. Start to expect, I'm going to see the goodness of God. There's so much stuff going on in the world at the moment that we have to make that stand, like that guy against the Philistines. He took a stand in that field. And as we read a little bit of Ephesians, you'll see how many times Paul says, stand. And that's what that guy did in that field, stand. And that's what the Holy Spirit will enable us to do. We're not trying to work this up. We're not trying to do it on our own. We're pushing in for him. And that's really a bit like last week, what we were doing. We're pushing in, saying, you know, I can hear the wind blowing, although Sandy could feel it. We're declaring, we know you're doing something, God. We know you're doing something, and we want to be a part of it, don't we? Yes. We want to be a part, whatever that part looks like. Every single one of you, she says in that word. So the Holy Spirit does that in you. We don't work for it. It's all been given. So we trust him to do it. We trust him and everything that he is. We make ourselves available. We lay down everything that would get in the way, everything that would prevent us from getting close to Jesus, getting closer to Jesus. And just one final thing. Take this, just verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word is also the prophetic word. Take the now word of God. What is the now word of God for your life? What's the now word, apart from you being a new breed of champion? That's a now word. Take that word. But what's he saying to you? And what's the word saying to you? Please be in the word. Please be in the word of God. There's never been a more... what's the right word? Precious time, or no, not precious, more urgent time to be in the word of God. What's God saying? How can I partner with the word? So let's pray. Maybe you just want to receive that word, that I am a new breed of champion. Maybe you just need to say, Father, I receive that. I receive that word. I receive that as who I am. I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. I don't know what it means, but I receive that word. And I receive your word that you are with me always. I receive that word that it's your power and might that comes through my union with you. Lord, show us more. I pray this week that as we read your word, as we soak in your presence or take time in your presence, that you would fill us afresh. Lord, we are so aware how the world needs a new breed of champion who can stand in the authority and strength that you give. And we open our hearts and say, do it in us, Lord. Do it in this church. For every single one, I thank you for every single person in this church, Lord, and how you've called them, how you've anointed them, and how you're creating through them pathways for your goodness to flood this earth, pathways for heaven to invade earth. I thank you, Lord. Would you fill us afresh this morning? Fill us afresh. Thank you, Lord. For those who are battle weary, would you bring refreshment, Holy Spirit? Pour in your refreshment. Yeah, for those of us that need joy, would you pour in joy? For those of us that need to let go of emotion and really go for it, maybe we need to shout, Lord, but maybe we need to cry, whatever it is, Lord, would you help us?